Thank you for each and every one of you doing your part tonight and ministering the way you have, whether it's been the testimonies or the songs that were presented, the specials. I appreciate it all very much. And guys, your patience with me getting connected, because I couldn't get my mic working to be with you here from my office. And I just pray that you will forgive me. It has been interesting. I think we had some bad updates and I just couldn't beat it. Finally got that going, and then I have not been able to get my notes up to you for this study tonight, which was important because it's not in your book, like some other notes that I've had to give you to, supplement things. These notes tonight on the overhead on the Google Meet session would have been perfect, but we're going to go with what we got. I'm going to try to minister to you in the best way I can, and we'll let the Holy Spirit minister to each and every one of us in a very special way. Next week, you're probably going to have Brother Conrad ministering to you and touching base with you. And then 2 weeks from then, I'll minister the week afterwards, and then 2 weeks from now, we should have a gathering session. So we'll see what the Lord is going to do. We're going to look forward to what the Holy Ghost is going to have in our way. And some of you have asked Debbie and I to sing some night, and I'm going to try to make that happen. I'm going to try to make that happen, as I know some of you have asked for us to sing together, and we will try to make that happen for you. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to know Jesus? Amen. Chapter 5, verse 1. And we're going to talk about a couple things, but the first story we're going to consider here in chapter 5 of the book of John in our Through the Bible Study series is considering the healing at the Pool of Bethesda. Verse 1, chapter 5, I'm going to be reading again from the NIV version of the Bible just because I studied from that version of the Bible, and that's all. In your study notes, it's in the King James, I believe, in the books you have. But tonight, since we don't really have books to study from because I'm kind of in between the chapters, you'll have to get your Bibles out and follow along, okay? Chapter 5, verse 1 in the book of John. No notes to go with, but just listen to the word, okay? Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool which is in Aramaic called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie there, and the blind and the lame and the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. 38 years. When Jesus saw him, I'm in verse 6, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well?" Verse 7, "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. This is an incredible situation with a very difficult, background, case in point, as you have an invalid who for 38 years had suffered and not been able to do just natural things we take for granted. And Jesus asked him a simple question in verse 6, "Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well?" How many people do you know that when they get sick or when they're hurting or when they've had an injury want to get well? Amen. Most people do, don't they? It serves them well to be so. But we live in a day and age where spiritually, emotionally, physically, and in various ways, we're seeing people contradict the rules that we tend to live by, which is to be well and to prosper. We have folks who refuse to get vaccinated. We have folks who refuse to take the medicine that God has granted them in many ways, shapes, and form to get them well. Or we find people who are not taking the steps to protect themselves in the time we're in America and throughout the world. Spiritually, this same disease could take place when it comes to our spirit and who we are as human beings trying to take care of the realm that God has put within us, that spirit, soul and body, that spirit man that needs to be receiving the grace of God and the forgiveness of God to be able to walk in the fullness of God. Amen. Jesus could be asking you, as he is so many today, do you want to get well? Now, I don't know about you, but when I am sick and when I'm hurting, I want to get well. And this man had been suffering for 38 years. He wanted to get well. As a pastor, I've met people who for years have struggled with different maladies and such. And they're so thankful when Jesus steps in and they see the miraculous of God, or that they're able to find a doctor that can help them in their lives, that finally can find the cure. But by whatever means, God can open up the door and there can be hope brought forth to that person. They want to receive that. Hope gives them that which they many times have not had. That is for the opportunity for the grace of God and for health and the mercy of God. I do not want to begrudge. I do not want to step aside. I do not want to ignore the grace of God when I need it in my life so much. How about you? I have met so many people late in my life that have begrudged or have set aside or have ignored the prescription for their life that God has for them physically, spiritually, and emotionally in a variety of ways. People who tend to ignore, people who say, well, there'll be another day. People who say, well, I'm not going to do that. And they make excuses to not receive the prescription that can help them and save them, heal them, etc. I want you to know today that that is not just sometimes ignorance, that is stupidity. Or that is just going off in a situation in your heart and mind that you want to make a statement. Well, you're going to have to live and die sometimes by your statements if you're going to go by that point. But that is not the will of God. When Jesus comes by, he says, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Do you want to be protected? Do you want to be all right? Jesus has given us the armor of God, where we can put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the loins girt with truth, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and the shield of faith to quench every fiery dart of the wicked. The Lord protects, he keeps, and he heals, and he gives hope. And I want you to know today, I'm thankful for the great physician. I'm thankful for my divine protector. I'm thankful for the mercies of God. And I do want to be one of those who goes forth, and it is well with my soul. Hallelujah. This man needed God. This man needed the healing. This man needed the touch of the Lord. And he was having people kind of step in front of him all the time. And he couldn't get his place in life to receive a healing when the stirring comes. I want you to know, I want to be in that place I need to be when the stirring comes, when God ministers and can touch my life. There's a place and time that God has for you to find, which is that place of destiny to receive that miracle, that testimony, that beautiful, beautiful witness in your life that can change it all around. But too many of us are not pursuing it. Too many of us are getting lazy. Too many of us are not following after what the signs are. And we are ignoring the providence of God. We're ignoring it. Many times God has laid a path for us, but we don't want to follow the direction. Many times he's given us the prescription, but we don't want the medicine. Sometimes he's given us just that word of knowledge, but oh, I don't want to deal with that person. I want to be or minister to by so-and-so. I've told you guys a story before that when I was ministering one time in Kansas and how we were having a prayer line and we were praying for people and God was ministering and people were being healed But this one individual refused to come up and get prayed for, because he thought that, well, I just need to get to, Tulsa. I just need to be prayed for by Brother Roberts and I'll be all right. I want you to know something. It doesn't matter who the who is. It doesn't matter whatever. If you're ready to receive and you're in that place and you have faith, God can heal and minister. Don't ignore the appointed time. Don't ignore the appointed hour. When God gives you an opportunity, take advantage of it. I promise you, this man for 38 years, he wasn't trying to ignore the opportunity. He was trying to put himself in a place where he could receive. Finally, the day came when Jesus passed by. But no matter where you're at today, some of you, you need to take the opportunity before you, and you're not. And receive the Lord. Hallelujah. And it might not be this moment. You might not get it this day. But if you keep on pursuing the Lord, I promise you. If you keep on putting yourself in the position, I promise you. If you're willing to receive His advice, I promise you, God is going to work a miracle. God is going to work a miracle. But you've got to give Him the opportunity and you've got to reach out in faith. Hallelujah. God's knocking at the door and so many of you ignoring Him knocking on the door. Hallelujah. Okay, let's get back in the Word and look at verse 9. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. There wasn't a lot of theatrics here. There wasn't a lot of stuff that Jesus said. He had just said, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. It was that simple. And the man picked up his mat, and he walked. When Jesus gives you a simple instruction, what do you do with it? Do you do it? Or do you tend to ignore it? Many years ago, I was told a story about a minister who was not very well versed, and I've told you this story before church. He was not very well versed in things. He was not very flowery in speech, but he had a great anointing upon his ministry, and people from all around town wanted to come and be where he was ministering and teaching and touching the lives of so many. And a very good friend of mine who was a preacher in that town, he wanted to find out what was going on. He knew the man and knew he wasn't very well educated. He knew he didn't have a fancy Bible college degree. And I'm very much so for education as the president of Focus Bible College. Get yourself an education. You need an education. Hallelujah. But this man didn't have that going for him. And yet revival was happening. People were getting saved. People were getting healed. People were receiving what God had for them. And he was trying to put the right mechanisms in the church for those who could follow up and properly teach and train them as far as other things had to be taken care of in their discipleship. And this pastor friend of mine went to his church and he wanted to find out how this was happening, how this revival was happening. He knew this man wasn't well educated. He knew he didn't come from some great pedigree or anything spiritually when it came to his background as a preacher or anything. But he got an invitation to come into his office, the pastor's office, when he had asked if he might be able to. And he went into his office and there the man was praying with his head right in the chair there behind his desk and seeking God. You know, and he probably already knew that Brother so-and-so was already in the office, but he just kept on doing that. And, you know, and at first, you know, my friend could have sat there and said, oh, well, he's not being very courteous here, but he waited and he waited. And after a while, the man finished and turned around, shook his hand, and began to speak to him. And the pastor said, how do you do it, guy? How do you do it? How do you have this great, powerful ministry in God, and the Lord's touching people? What's the secret? He said, I just showed you. He said, what? He said, I just showed you. And the man tried to talk to him for a while, whatnot, and the man had broken English almost, couldn't really be very coherent, it seemed. He said, that is where, in prayer, he said, when God comes over me and God overshadows me with His Holy Spirit, it's like I become a new man. And when I go out to the pulpit or when I go to minister to people, things change, things happen, and God is with me. That's simply it. And night after night, when he spoke, and this pastor went back there a couple times, you know, this man who, with broken English and with not really, seemingly the greatest articulate speech whatsoever, would minister wonderfully while he was under the anointing and wonderfully pray for people in the touch of God. And the Lord ministered. That man knew two things. One, it was all about Jesus, his anointing, his grace, his power, his mercy. And second of all, he was humble. He was humble. He knew he didn't deserve it. He knew he didn't merit it. He knew that he didn't have the education. He knew he couldn't hardly put together 2-3 sentences. But he was willing and obedient to do whatever God asked him to do. If you're willing and obedient, the scripture says, you'll eat the good of the land. If you're willing and obedient, God will do great things in your heart and life. When you're stubborn or stuck up or think of yourself somewhat or you just won't respect certain things aren't going to happen in your life. This man at the pool of Bethesda was asked one simple question. Do you want to get well? And his whole life was changed because of that. I want you to know today, God wants to ask you, do you want to be well? There can be some great changes in your life. I don't know if you're one of the shepherd leaders who are thinking about some things today. I don't know if you're a saint of God who is going through some trials that need the touch of God. I don't know if you're a young person who's thinking about going to Bible college or whatever it might be today. Jesus Christ has a plan for you. Jesus Christ is looking to you. Jesus Christ wants to know, hey, do you want to get well? Do you want to know what to do? Do you want to know the direction? Do you want to know what I have in mind? Hallelujah. When we can get in on the plan that the Lord has for us, good things happen. Prepare yourself. Use the tools you have. Use everything we have at Covenant of Grace to help you in your walk with Christ and to serve the Lord and to help your fellow man. But remember one thing. The most important thing is to honor Him. The most important thing is to allow Him to touch your life. He can turn things around. He can move mountains. He can work miracles through you. We've had people in this church who weren't the preachers, who weren't the teachers, who weren't the song ministers or anything else. Pray for people. Go out and help people. Do things for folks. And they did it in such a humble way and God touched and blessed them in a supernatural way. And things happened. It doesn't matter who you are. It matters whose you are. Did you hear me? It's not who you are. It's whose you are. And if you're a child of the King, and if you're willing to honor Him, God can do mighty things in your heart and life. Amen? Let's go on if we could. The day on, let's go back to actually verse 8. Then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. And once the man was cured, he picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, it is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. Forbids you to carry it. But he replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. So they asked him, who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk? The man who was healed had no idea who it was. For Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. It was Jesus who had made him well. These leaders were more concerned about, hey, the customs he had broken. They didn't care if the man was healed. They didn't care if the man was well. They were more concerned about Jesus breaking the customs of the day and the laws of the day and doing miracles on the Sabbath and this man being changed. How blind had they become? How blind had they become to not recognize that the master wanted to work a miracle, that the master wanted to change things, that the master wanted to do something supernatural and accept it for what it was. They were so blinded by religiosity, that they couldn't recognize that the master, the king of the universe, the mighty God, the Lord of glory, oh hallelujah, wanted to work a miracle in someone's life and accept it for what it is. When we hear somebody's doing something great at some church or whatnot, we need to rejoice. When we hear about some great miracle, whatever, we need to rejoice. When we hear that things are being changed in our country for good, we need to rejoice. But too many times we get jealous or this or that, or we let prejudice get in the way, and we taint what God is doing and say, oh, we discount it and put it aside. Because it's not maybe from my club. It's not from my church. It's not from my constituency. Hello? It's not what's going on with my denomination. You hear where I'm coming from, guys? Hallelujah. It doesn't matter. I don't care where it's coming from. If it's Jesus, it's Jesus. One of the great things about the charismatic movement in the 60s and early on was the fact that it didn't matter what was going on, but Jesus was going on. And it didn't matter if you were Baptist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Pentecostal. God was happening in churches. He was breaking down the walls, and he's still doing it, if we let him. But too many times we want to institutionalize things and put labels on it and give our good seal of approval. Hello? And give our good seal of approval. Hey, it doesn't have to have my seal of approval. The only approval it needs is the seal of the Holy Ghost. Amen. People of God, we're missing out today. We're letting things get in the way. We're becoming like the religious leaders of Jesus' day. We're becoming a bunch of Pharisees. We're blocking things that God wants to be doing. We're having attitudes. We need to get rid of some attitudes in the church. We need to get rid of some of the attitudes in our nation. We need to get rid of some attitudes of bitterness and frustration and things that so many people are keeping in and expressing in ways that are wrong. We want God's work to get done. We need to show the love of God. We need to minister Christ. Hallelujah. We need to be going to us and say, hey, don't you want to get well? Oh, hallelujah. Whew. Amen. Jesus asked that simple question. Do you want to get well? Oh, hallelujah. God is so good. I'm sorry. I'm getting a little excited in the Lord here. The Word of God just does something to me. When I start to think about it and I think about what the Lord has done, it just amazes me. And I just look at things and I wonder, do we understand or see what we're doing? And how we inhibit the work of God with our prejudices, with our religiosity, with our ideas, with these stumbling blocks that we put before the Lord. When the Lord is saying, do you want to get well? Do you want me to touch you? Do you want a miracle? Do you want to get through this? Well, this is what you do. You know, there are people in the scriptures where God tried to tell them to do certain things and man, they didn't really want to do it. But in order to get their healing, they had to do it. You know, we need to just take whatever prescription God has for us, whatever degree it is, and let God work out the miracle. Sometimes people have been caught in sin, bad sin in their lives, and they've not been willing to take the prescription from their denominations or from their leaders in order to get well. And instead, they think of themselves somewhat like they, you know, are not. And have to recognize they're just like everyone else in need of a Savior. And take whatever the prescription is to be able to go back on tour for the Lord, if I could say what I want to say. Hallelujah. I don't want to get into specifics, and I could, but I know of some preachers who've listened to their district boards, or they've listened to counseling, and they've got restored and blessed and used of God again. And I've heard of others who were stubborn, who refused, who wouldn't repent, who got, you know, a mean spirit and just became useless. Hallelujah. We all need the grace of God. We all need the mercy of God. We all have to follow under the two principles I mentioned earlier. One, it comes from Him. Everything comes from above. It comes down from Him. All the blessings, all the grace, all the power, if we submit to Him. And second of all, we've got to be humble. We've got to be humble. There's a lot of people today in the body of Christ who need to get humble. I appreciated Bishop Bohr a couple of years ago, and Debbie and I were talking about this the other day in one of our full gospel restoration conferences. He had the ministers, he actually personally, we had foot washing service, and he washed the feet of every single and prayed for every single minister that was there. Every single one. The general bishop did it. Why? Because the Holy Ghost had told him he needed to do this in this conference. I wonder how many general bishops, I wonder how many leaders would be willing to do such a thing. To be humble before the Lord in such a manner. That's the kind of leadership we need in the body of Christ. And people to submit to such leadership in a way to yield to the work of the Holy Spirit. And realize, I must decrease, that He must increase. The apostles were worried about, hey, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Who's going to be doing these exploits for the Lord? Hallelujah. And they missed it all. They were missing it. And Jesus washed their feet. I want you to know today, hallelujah, we need to be washing more people's feet. Maybe not in a literal sense, but in a spiritual sense. The poor need us. The broken need us. There's so many people with needs in this world. And we can be the conduits of which the Holy Spirit allows us to touch them today. Amen. Verse 11. Backtracking a little bit here. But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.' So they asked him, 'Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?' The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, 'See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you.' The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well." Jesus gave some instruction to the man he healed. He said, just as God has touched you in your body, you need to take care of the inner man. And you need to go and sin no more. Jesus is interested in the whole man. He's not just interested in healing you. He's not just interested in providing for you. He's not just interested in sheltering you. He wants the inside of you. He wants the mentality. He wants the whole person well. And if we'll allow the Lord to touch our lives and to minister to Him and be open to His word, God can do just that. Hallelujah. Sometimes we like the miracles. Sometimes we like the shouting. Sometimes we like so many different things, but we don't like some of the other things. The instruction on the Lord and walking holy, etc. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, I was good with you until then. I was good with you about seeing the miracles. I was good with you about doing this and that. But Lord, that? Come on, Lord, that's personal. Yeah, it better be personal. God's got to get you from the inside out. When you get saved, it's not some peripheral thing. It's not some superficial thing. It's not just, oh, I got anointed by God and the Holy Spirit came upon me and I decided to get baptized and I accepted Christ and it's all good. Hey, God does some cleaning up. He regenerates. He heals. He gets rid of the garbage. He sees you purified until you walk into the promises of God in fullness. The people, the Hebrew children, spent 40 years in the wilderness. And God had to get rid of a bunch of things until they became purified enough to enter in. They had to get rid of the old mentality of slavery. They had to get rid of the old diet when they were back in Egypt, etc., to even get in to the promised land. And then the attitudes and the prejudice, all the stories we read of, and the things that happened between Egypt to the promised land. There's a lot of things that goes on in our lives between being delivered and getting saved and coming into the church. And then to a place where one day we're going to be with Him. There's a lot that's going on as God prepares us as vessels of honor. And it's not always great. It's not always a joy. And there can be suffering along the way. But count it all joy that you might enter into the grace of God. And let the Lord prune you and purify you and strengthen you, that you might become that vessel of honor that gives Him glory. Yep, there's a lot of space sometimes in time between coming through the cross and the other side where the glory of God comes in the day of Pentecost, and then to, hey, that time of the resurrection and that time of accountability. But it's in between that time where God does all His business in our life and helps us and makes us into vessels of honor and helps us to share with others the gift of God in Jesus Christ. We need to learn in this hour, and I'm going to begin to close here, the importance of agape love. Many of the elders in Covenant of Grace have gone through, I know all our shepherd leaders have, many of the elders and others in the ministry here have gone through this series I've taught, and we had a discussion on the book Spiritual Burnout by Malcolm Smith, and we went through some things, and we learned about agape love in its pure sense. And, you know, there's not a lot of those books out right now unless it's been reproduced someplace. But I want you to know there's a lesson to be learned about agape love, and we're looking at especially the prodigal son and the relationship there between the prodigal son, his brother, his dad, the whole thing, and how God greets and ministers. But agape love and how we should be tending to one another is really what the church needs today and what we need. Because if we really ministered out of agape love, that selfless kind of love, that God kind of love, things would be different. And a lot of things I have spoken about tonight, I wouldn't even be hardly talking about. Hallelujah. But we don't let that love rule. We let rules reign over us. We don't let God's love rule. We let rules reign over us. We like, and as we've spoken about in that series we did on spiritual burnout, we like to put different things in order and make things like a picking order or put pedigrees. You know what I'm saying? We put up all these things, barriers between us and God or one another. We have all these conditions. And then we wonder why God can't get in and do anything. Well, until you do this, this, and that, you ain't getting in here. You ain't. You know, I'm not going to help you. That's the wrong attitude. We need to be like the prodigal son's father who ran out to meet him. Hey, put on the signet ring. Get the robe. Get it all. Get dinner coming. Hey, my son has come home. He didn't care about what happened except that he was there. And there's a lot you're going through in life sometimes, and there's challenges in life. And you need that kind of person in your life. You need that kind of Jesus in your life showing you that kind of agape love so that you can get on track and see the business of God. But too many of us are building up walls and barriers and rules and regulations and this and that. And we've made religion of vanity. Amen. Of vanity. There's a lot of people outside the church who are only there because of what they've seen about religion, what they've seen about church. That's all a bunch of rules. It's all a bunch of regulations. It's all about this and that and everything else. But not a lot about the love of God. Not a lot about that pure source of grace. Not a lot about Jesus Christ. Come and say, hey, come on. Would you like to be well? Hallelujah. Oh, the church, ourselves. Hallelujah. Those around about us. We need to get well. Hallelujah. Agape love. It's going to make all the difference if we can get it, if we can get a hold of it, if we can allow it to become a part of us. But I dare say if we as believers, we as a church, we in the body of Christ, don't get that agape love moving and motivated the way it is, we're going to see a lot of burnout Christians. We're going to see a lot of people just being religious and phony. And we're going to see a lot of things not get done that Jesus wants to get done today. But if we can tap into the grace of God, if we can tap into the mercy of God, and remember those two things I spoke about, it comes from Him, yielding to Him, honoring Him, letting His anointing come upon you, and then humbling yourself to whatever it is the Lord wants you to do. And forget about it being for your glory. Forget about being for your resume. And remembering it's all about loving and showing God's love to this generation. God will do miraculous things in your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm just so thankful to the Lord. I'm so thankful for His love in my life. In closing, just a few examples. I remember one time we were on a march for missions back in Ottawa, Illinois, when I was a teenager. And Brother Dwyer, I believe his name was. Dyer or Dwyer. I know I'm close on either one. You know how bad I am about changing names and words sometimes, so forgive Brother Boston. But Brother Dyer, I believe, or Dwyer, it's one or the other. I was on this march for missions, and it was brutally hot. It was a brutally hot day. And I don't know who at the church made this decision, but the last, quote, mile of the day. I know it wasn't a mile, but it was something. The last trek or journey on that march for missions was up a hill. Up a hill, man. And Brother Boston couldn't make it. I was done. I'd been cooked. I'd been fried. I couldn't hardly move. And Brother Dwyer, or Dyer, hallelujah, picked me up, put me on his shoulders, and carried me. And I'm a teenage man, but it didn't matter. And he carried me that last part of the way up that hill. That's love. He knew how much I wanted to get there, but I couldn't. And that's the way we should be in the church. We see how hard people want to get there. And we need to put them on our back. And we need to carry them that last trek, that last mile, that last block of the way until they can receive what the Lord has for them. And to know it's well done, thou good and faithful servant. But we don't have enough people willing to put them on their back, those people, and carry them that way. And because of that, people are being lost. People aren't making it. People aren't getting through. We need to start showing that kind of love. We need to bear witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to help people. We need to help people to see the Jesus in us. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, let's pray. Let's pray, guys. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for your word. Thank you for what you shared with us, God. I just pray that, Lord, your Spirit would anoint and touch each and every one who hears the Word of God. And I pray that, Lord, you have ministered to us and strengthened us and have helped us tonight. And I pray that this Word has gone out and that, Lord, those who received it will take it in and let it become a part of them. And these kind of in-between pages of the study that we took in tonight, God, will be the in-between pages that the Holy Ghost has ministered through that helps put it all together to help us to be more like Jesus. Lord, thank you one day that you helped me to learn how to get well. And I pray, oh Lord, in my life that I will never, ever ignore the prescription you have for me, the medicine I have to take, the therapy I've got to do, because whatever it is, will help me to be well. I thank you and praise you, Lord. I thank you for this day. Bless each and everyone who hears this word and is, oh God, just ministered to by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all in Jesus' name. So good to be with you tonight.